Psalm 125. A song of ascent. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. This past week, I was showing my boys some old videos from a trip I took with my family to Florida 27 years ago. And I pulled out, I had digitized them many years ago, but I pulled them out and was sharing them with my siblings. And we were marveling at how old we but I was only actually a couple years older than Titus, which was interesting to show him these videos. But at one point in our trip, it was a longer trip, but my two older siblings needed to get back to Canada before the rest of us needed to go back to Canada. So they flew from Tampa to Toronto, and we brought them to the airport. At that time, you could just go to the gate. You could just go watch. We could watch them go, walk onto the plane, you could watch the plane take off, you go right up to where they fly out to board. And I explained to my boys, I said, that's not how we get on a plane today. They've flown more than I ever did in their age. But they know you go to the airport, you wait in lines, and you wait, you get scanned for this, you get checked for that. Airport security has changed since 1996. September 11, 2001, back to the terrorist attacks of that day, things have changed dramatically, and security has increased exponentially. Whether it actually provides real security or some of it's an illusion to make us feel like things are safer. Well, we can have that debate, although I imagine that there are many little, just slightly too big shampoo bottles that are sitting in the dump. There are far more of those than should be there. But that kind of security is necessary in a fallen world, to have some sense of scan, to check, to make sure no one's getting on a plane that could turn that plane into a weapon or bring the plane down. Just as you lock your doors at night or lock your cars or install security cameras. These are areas we seek security in a fallen world where sin abounds. In our hearts and around us. But these things, as necessary as they may be and practically helpful to one degree or another, are never going to provide ultimate security. We cannot put our ultimate hope and rest in those things to provide us with the security that we need. For whether it's, maybe it's not a terrorist, but it could be a mechanical malfunction on the plane. Or it could be this, or it could be that. There are always ways in which there's more security could be needed. But our hope as Christians, whether we're flying a plane or doing anything else, living our Christian life, is in the Lord. It is in the fact that Jesus Christ is on the throne. He reigns and rules over every detail of our life, and we can trust Him. We are secure in Him. And this security plan, this security that is provided by Jesus Christ, is provided free to all those who trust in Him. To every person who puts their hope and faith in Jesus Christ, and to every church that strives to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ together for the future of the Christian church. If you're not in Jesus Christ, if you're not trusting in Him, this security, even this evening, is offered to you. It's a security that Christ promises you to secure you from Satan and the sin of your own heart and the world around you that seeks your destruction. It's a security from God's wrath against sin because you are the source of your insecurity before God, for you sinned against him and have no right to be secure in the world he has made. But he offers security. He provides security. Christ does. So this afternoon I want to meditate on that theme of security. On the security that God provides, Jesus Christ provides from his throne. We're going to do this from Psalm 125. Christ's reign gives believers complete security in a wicked world. Christ's reign gives believers complete security in a wicked world. We're going to first consider the statement of security in verse 1, and then we're going to look at four ways that security is described in this psalm. We're going to first look at the statement of verse 1. And then in verse 2, we're going to consider secure, surrounded by Christ. Verse 3, secure under Christ's scepter. Verse 4, secure in Christ's goodness. And finally, verse 5, secure in shalom. Christ's reign gives believers complete security in a wicked world. In verse 1, we have a statement of security. Now remember, this is a psalm of ascent. These psalms were sung, were likely sung, we believe they were, by pilgrims who were on their way to Jerusalem. This is the soundtrack of pilgrimage. On their way to Jerusalem for the feasts that they had to go to throughout the year, or sung by pilgrims, exiles on their way back from Babylon, and coming back to Jerusalem, coming back to the old city to rebuild, to come and worship God. It was these pilgrims then, you can imagine them coming and drawing closer to the city, and as they come near to Jerusalem, they look up and they begin to see somewhere in the distance, and get closer and closer, they begin to see the mountain ranges that were surrounding Jerusalem, and they can begin to make out and know that beyond that is Mount Zion. And as they come through the mountains, they see Mount Zion, and they are singing these songs. This is their what they're seeing before them. They're singing praise to God. Perhaps they had whatever enemies they had in mind, whether those enemies depended on the given year, whether it was an external threat of those who threatened to conquer Judah, Jerusalem, or maybe it was internal problems. Those things were trying to worship faithfully, but they were under a false king. They were in a time of spiritual declension when there weren't many who wanted to serve the Lord faithfully. They drew near to Jerusalem and began to bring to mind security they had in their Lord. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Now, mountains are pictures of security. We saw this in Habakkuk 3 a few weeks ago. We see this in the Psalms in different places. Mountains are what people like to use as an example from creation of something that is stable and remains. So the mountains have been there, and when they do change, it's usually quite, we don't see it. It's not discernible. Doesn't happen often. And so they're a picture of security and of stability. And yet the true believer, the one who trusted in the Lord, didn't trust in the mountains. He trusted in the Lord of the mountains. Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Of course, the beautiful language of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Even though that the greatest, most secure part of creation is destroyed, yet if our trust is not in that, but it's in the Lord, we will not fear. The security of the believer approaching to worship God, and the security of believers in any stage of their life, in singing this psalm, is a security that is found in the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Mount Zion is equated to the church. This is not unusual language in the scriptures. Mount Zion is equated to the church. We are secure as God's people when we are trusting in the Lord. And this was a hope that was put in the God of Israel. But beyond that, it was not just for them, not just the Lord that they knew, but the Lord they knew was coming. the Lord who is going to come as the Messiah. They were looking ahead to the Lord coming, that eternal king to sit upon David's throne, the one God had promised. They were looking forward to the coming of the Lord to care for them. That Messiah, Jesus Christ, the one who has come, the one in whom we do trust, the one that we can focus our attention on. Whatever enemy is facing the church, whatever you think the future might hold or not hold, whatever you're fearing now or what might come around the corner, don't focus on that, but focus on the Lord. Focus where this verse calls you to focus. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Trust in the Lord. This is your statement of faith if you are in Jesus Christ. This is your statement of faith. You are trusting in Him. You are not strong and secure because your faith is strong. You are not strong or secure because you are strong. You are strong and secure because God is strong, and He is your God. That means that even the weakest believer, if you are one who is so prone to fear, the falling of a leaf, you're shaking because you don't know what's going to happen. If that is where you are at as a believer, you need to know that your security is not in gaining something more for yourself, but it's looking to the Lord, trusting in the Lord, that even the weakest believer is strong because the Lord is strong. This is a personal confession of faith to say the Lord is strong. I trust in the Lord. I am more secure than Mount Zion. And it's a corporate confession of the church and the fallen world. We are more secure. We are secure more than Mount Zion because the Lord is our God. Are you trusting this Lord? Is your trust in this Lord? Without Jesus Christ, you have no security. Not now, not ever. There are illusions of security, the hope of security, as long as certain things continue, like whatever you put your hope in right now. But there's no guarantee any of that's going to remain. The only guarantee is God. This cannot be your confession of trust until you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. This verse cannot be your comfort until you have come to Jesus Christ and repent. Because it's Christ's reign that gives believers complete security in a wicked world. That's the statement of faith that comes to us. And then there are four ways this security is described in the rest of the psalm. First, we have verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. We are secure because we are surrounded by Christ. The Lord is compared to the mountains that surrounded Jerusalem. You have to have a sense that of the geography around ancient Jerusalem. Jerusalem was built on Mount Zion, on a mountain. And around Jerusalem there were valleys. And beyond the valleys there were mountain ranges, and there were mountains that surrounded the city that were higher, larger than Mount Zion. There was the Mount of Olives, and there was Mount Scopus, and there are others that are around. It was a city that was well placed for defense. It was a city that was secure, well defended militarily, and so it was a place where people rested. And just think of when David conquered Jerusalem, and the Jebusites that lived there. They said, you could send whatever you want. We've got the lame and the blind. They'll defend the city. You'll never take it from them. David did take it from them. Jerusalem was well defended. Naturally well defended. But it was frequently conquered. It was frequently conquered in the Old Testament. It was conquered through the New. And it's been conquered since. Jerusalem, was so well defended, was still frequently conquered. And so the downfall of Israel, the downfall of the people of God, was that if their trust was in Jerusalem's defenses, their trust was in the wrong place. The call is not to put their trust in Jerusalem. The call is to put their trust in the Lord of Jerusalem. Just as for you and me, we are not secure if our hope is in our doctrine. and its faithfulness, or in the preacher and his ability, or in the you name whatever it is, the whatever we think we are as a church, whatever we think we have that is good and faithful and even necessary. If our security is in those things, our security is in our source of security is the wrong thing. We're putting our hope in that which cannot provide security. Though they may be blessings, though they may be good, there's nothing wrong with having good defenses around the city. But the people of God knew that their hope ought not to be in that, but in the God who oversaw them, who loved them. And he, God, provides security. The Lord alone is the source. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. It's good for us to remember because we're so prone to put our hopes in things that are not God. Even good things that are still not God. Martin Luther writes, he said, it is much easier to learn than to believe that we who have by us the word of God and receive it are surrounded with divine aid. It's easier to learn it. You guys, you can sit here and you can nod and agree and say amen, but then to live it is a whole different thing. To actually believe it and live by it. Luther writes, if we were surrounded by walls of steel and fire, we should feel secure and defy the devil. But the prosperity of faith is not to be proud of what the eye sees, but to rely on what the word reveals. The prosperity of faith is not to be proud of what the eye sees, but to rely on what the word reveals. It was not to look at the mountains, to look at the Lord of the mountains, so they could not see him with physical eyes, but to believe on him spiritually. And our hope and our security is in the fact that Jesus Christ surrounds his church fully and completely. There is not one weak point in his security on us. Every arrow that makes it through to us, that stings in the Christian life, is one that was deliberately let through by the King for our good. Not one thing happens to you that is because the defenses of our King were down. Somehow somebody missed. That Jesus somehow missed something that was coming. Jesus Christ loved his people. He died for his people. He defends his people. He ensures that nothing will come to his church that will harm them. There are those things that will sting. There are those things that are not pleasant. He will allow no evil to come. Nothing to harm his people. We are secure because Christ surrounds us with his care and protection. Jesus would say of himself in John 10:27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Christ surrounds you. Christ protects you. Christ keeps you. If you are troubled by insecurity, if you struggle to believe, and maybe it's a particular trial, maybe you say, that's just my disposition. Christ changes dispositions. But if we're struggling, you can pray. You can pray like Elisha prayed in 2 Kings 6, when the Syrians surrounded the city of Dothan. And Elisha was calm, but his servant was scared. And Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. By faith, you can pray, Lord, help me to see your protection. To know that you surround me. To know that you surround your church and you care. Christ's reign gives believers complete security in the fallen world. We are surrounded by Christ. That's the first way this security is described. Second is that we are under Christ's reign. We are under his scepter. We are secure under his scepter. Verse 3, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. A security does not mean an easy life. Security does not mean that enemies don't threaten. Security doesn't mean that enemies don't seem to conquer. or seem to have the final say and the upper hand forever. There is Satan, who continues to hate God's people and attack them. There is this sinful world that hates God's people and wants no one to follow. And there is our own self-sabotage through that we do through our own sin, our own pursuit of evil. There are those who preach that if you believe in Jesus, if you trust in Him, that you'll be healthy, you know, lots of money, and things will go well. If they don't go well, it's because your faith is defective. No, the problem is their understanding of the Scriptures are defective. Because the Word of God never teaches that to believe in Jesus means an easy life. Remember what Jesus said to His disciples pretty clearly in many places, but thinking particularly of John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He is our security. And verse 3 tells us that there are times when the church may be dominated by wickedness. When it seems that the wicked have won the victory. Whether that's wicked governments that oppress the church or impose its ways on the church, or whether it's many other ways that Satan seeks to assert his own authority and spread his own wickedness and his evil. There are times when the church seems dominated. In the Old Testament, sometimes it was foreign governments like Babylon that came and conquered the church. Other times it was wicked kings and queens of Jewish descent who ruled the people of God. In the New Testament church, we've seen that as well. Whether it was Roman persecution or whether it was Roman Catholic false teaching, that where the church was in bondage, what Luther called the Babylonian captivity of the church, where the church was dominated by false teaching and theology leading up to the Reformation. Today can be similar, whether it's Western governments and the wickedness that flows out of government decrees and legislation and everything else, whether it's those who are under violent persecution around the world, or whether it's under false churches and false teachers gathering thousands and thousands of people, followers in person and online. It seems like wickedness is dominating and wickedness is going to reign. But the key word of verse 3 is not that there will never be wickedness that will come against the church, but that the scepter of wickedness, that is that symbol of rule and authority, the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. The key word is rest, remain, stand still. It will not stay upon the land allotted to the righteous, that is, upon the inheritance of God's people, upon the church. The scepter of wickedness is not forever. It is until such time as it has suited the plan of our God and not of our Lord. In the Old Testament, God frequently rescued His people. He allowed wickedness to have a time of rule to punish His people, to call them to repentance, to bring them to realize their sin, and yet He rescued them and He would return them to the land where they were exiled and taken away. Or return the parts of the land that had been removed from them. But that was not the ultimate hope of God's people in the Old Testament. The ultimate hope was to look again to the Messiah to break the scepter of wickedness completely, to break off the evil one completely, to dominate, to destroy the scepter of the wicked. And to give to the people of God an eternal inheritance that will never be taken away. This is what is prophesied of in Psalm 45 of Jesus Christ. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. This scepter of wickedness would be destroyed by the scepter of righteousness under the rule of King Jesus. Hebrews 1 verse 8 reminds us that this verse is speaking of Christ and His rule and His reign. When Christ Hey, he conquered over Satan. He conquered him when he ascended up onto the cross and died. When he ascended up from the grave and in the resurrection. When he ascended up into heaven and was seated at the right hand of God, and to him was given the kingdom. He was given of all authority in heaven and on earth. He is the one ruling and reigning. His scepter is over all. Sometimes it may feel like a bird sitting in a nest in the middle of a hurricane. Brothers and sisters, even in that spot, you can sleep well. Jesus Christ rules. Jesus Christ cares for you. And you can confess with Christ and in Christ the words of Psalm 16, verse 5. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. You maintain what you have given. Eternal security in you. There's one last line that comes in this section. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. This is a statement that tells us that Christ's power will preserve you, will keep you as one of his people, will keep you from succumbing to the wickedness and the evil of those who would want you to follow after them. This is the Old Testament equivalent of the sweet promise of 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Realize Jesus Christ did not just die to forgive you your sins. He died to empower you to overcome your sin. He died so you could say no to sin, that you could put away the sins that you've just been giving into all the rest of your life. God promises to provide you a way of escape, and by faith you can take that way of escape in every temptation you face. You ever looked for the escape that God provides? You look back on sin that you've committed. You look back with regret on the sin that you've done. And you can see God has provided you a way of escape. God has provided. Whether you're tempted to gossip or anger or pessimism or pornography, whatever the temptation to sin is. Look back, did you take the way of escape? Did you walk away instead of spewing the angry words at somebody? Did you take the encouragement of a Christian brother that has come alongside you in your pessimism and your discouragement, and he points you to Christ, he points you to the Word, and you have a choice to receive it and look to the Lord or to ignore it and carry on in your discouragement or your pessimistic look at the world? Or perhaps you're tempted to lust. Did you put away your phone and walk outdoors and singing a hymn to clear your heart and mind of the filth that you're being tempted to? There are practical ways that God gives. We take in faith that God is providing a way of escape, a way out, a way to get away. God promises that the scepter of wickedness will not overwhelm the believer, lest the righteous reach out their hands to him. The call here, don't give up. When you face insecurity, when you struggle with insecurity, when you struggle with the wickedness that's all around us in the world and tempts us and tries us and wants to call us into allegiance with itself, don't give up or give in, but rest in King Jesus and in his scepter of righteousness that is more powerful. He provides security from the sin that is against you and the sin that is in you. Christ's reign gives believers complete security in a wicked world. Secure, surrounded by Christ, secure under Christ's scepter. The third way is secure in Christ's goodness. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in their hearts. Security in Jesus Christ means you can know where to seek it when you need it. You know where to go for it. It's these statements of security that we consider now blossom into a prayer. As Derek came up with, an assurance blossoms into prayer. We know the security God gives us. We hear the statements and declarations of security given to us in Christ. But when faith is weak, when we see the storm clouds seeming to begin to gather around us, or we see the storms that are raging in foreign lands against those who confess the name of Christ, we know where we can turn to the Lord, and we can seek from Him that assurance, that faith to cling to Him. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in their hearts. The Lord Himself is good. The Lord is one whom you can trust. He is good and He does good. Psalm 119, verse 160. You, O Lord, are good and you do good. And you yourself are called because of faith in Jesus Christ. And when you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness that He has earned in His work on the cross has been given to you. His perfect life that's been lived has been accounted to you. You are good in the eyes of God. You are upright before God in Jesus Christ. And so you can pray boldly then to the good God to do good to you and to the church. O Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. Not telling God what good is, but trusting Him to do good, to care for His church, to provide for her in all her insecurity, to provide for her in all her weakness and doubts, and to provide for you in your own heart. This is a prayer that we should love to pray with and for one another. We can pray together and for each other. Those who are struggling. It's a good prayer to pray. It shows our need to God. It demonstrates we know our need. We know where our dependence is. It demonstrates to God our trust in Him to do what is right. You can make your prayer a pattern of your prayer. It's a simple prayer to teach our children from their youngest days. Your security, it must be in the Lord for it to be real, eternal. Christ's reign gives believers complete security in a wicked world. We're secure surrounded by Christ. We're secure under Christ's scepter. We're secure in Christ's goodness. And finally, we're secure in shalom. Secure in shalom. Verse 5, as for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. With peace, or shalom, be upon Israel. We have confidence in Jesus Christ. But what about those who seek to dominate? What about the wicked who seek to have their scepter, their reign over God's people extended? What happens to the unbeliever? Well, God is both just to the one who will not trust in Him, and He gives peace to those who do. He is just to those who will not trust, and He gives peace to those who do. There is security, too, for you and me in the church. In our enemies being conquered and being receiving the just judgment of God. And when Christ comes and He conquers His enemies and He leads them away in judgment, He brings peace upon the church and security from those who would do us harm. Every enemy of the church of Jesus Christ will be utterly defeated. Satan himself has already been defeated, though he is still seeking to do damage to the church, and he will be utterly cast out when Christ returns. Christ's death without His resurrection was the victory of Satan. But Christ's death with His resurrection was the ultimate victory of Christ. And because we are in Christ, we share in that victory. We have that victory. And Christ Himself will lead all those who refuse to bow the knee to Him, will lead them to hell. And He will lead His people into eternal habitation of peace, shalom. That word for shalom is a wholeness. A more than just a passing peace. It's overwhelming goodness, a completeness. Everything that we need to live securely in Christ. The focus of verse 5 is not just the wicked in general. It's the apostate. Those who once went to the temple and sacrificed sacrifices to God. Those who once said, we believe in the Lord, but now have turned away. Those who have turned aside to their crooked ways. That's language in the Old Testament for those Israelites who once followed God, who were once faithful to the covenant, but now have cast aside God and gone down another way, a crooked way. The way of sin is always the crooked way. They're seeking to trip up others, seeking to take others with them, seeking to bring insecurity into the lives of others, to remove their security from God and put their security in other things that aren't secure at all. These are those who have caved under pressure,
pressure from a world that mocks their God, pressure from a world that says you can't seriously believe that, or think you can have hope in that company. We've got something better. We've got something more to offer you. They sold their soul to try to gain the world. And the exhortations of Christ, including Matthew 16:25, which he says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. A paradox, and yet the statement of security in him. When we seek him, when we are willing even to give our lives for the sake of the gospel, we are secure in him, and we will not lose our life, but will find it. These who are turned aside of their crooked ways are those who are never truly believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are those who are never truly secure in him and who have walked away. This is what John writes in 1 John 2. When he writes to the church who had seen those who had once confessed Christ but had now left, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Church discipline is a means that God uses to call the sinner repentance. But it's also a means by which God exposes the unbeliever who claims to be one in Christ in order to protect his church, in order to care for his church, in order to keep them also from any others from being led astray or tempted to be led astray. Are you drifting this afternoon? Are you drifting by believing what the world has to offer? Are you drifting from the security that is in Jesus Christ by buying into whatever you found online, or whatever has been sold to you at work, or whatever is been, whatever it might be, whatever your friend is trying to tell you? If you're drifting, be warned, there is no security outside of Jesus Christ. And the end of leaving Jesus Christ, of walking away, is judgment and not security. As for such as turn aside of their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. The end is the same end for all who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Plead with your friends who are drifting, walking away, who are saying, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm going to find my security somewhere else. There you go. Whatever that might be, whatever bravado they claim, whatever source they think, you can plead saying there is no security anywhere else. There is security only in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And if you are feeling, verse 3, the scepter of wickedness pressing down, and you're struggling under the wickedness all around, and you're struggling, you're wondering, and you're doubting, and you're fearing, is Jesus really in control? Cry out to the Lord for help, and cling to Christ, and say, help me, Lord. I can't stand on my own. I'm not self-secure. I'm insecure in myself, but you, he must be my security. The Lord surrounds you. He will care for you. And the scepter of wickedness will not rest. Will not remain. You can trust him. There is security trusting in Jesus Christ. But the security is in Jesus Christ. So we see Jesus Christ at work. We can declare and pray, peace be upon Israel. Shalom be upon Israel. That wholeness and completeness that is needed. Just as we read familiar words, perhaps words that you've maybe preached to your own soul from Isaiah 26. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. That security, that peace is what everybody wants, but it's only found trusting in Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the Galatians, because they were leaving aside, trusting in Jesus Christ alone, and they thought they needed Jesus plus a bunch of works, particularly the works of the Jewish law, circumcision. And he wrote to them, and he was exhorting them pretty strongly. You are leaving,
You started in faith, and now you're trying to finish by works. There is essentially no security in this. He says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And then he concludes, as many as walk according to this rule, Christ alone, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. I was referring to the physical national Israel, I was referring to the spiritual Israel, to the descendants, the spiritual descendants of Abraham who believed in the Lord. To all those who believe in Christ, peace be upon them. Seek peace. Seek security. But in Jesus Christ alone. And pray not just for yourself, but for the church, to seek her peace in Christ alone and in his righteousness. Because Christ's reign gives believers complete security in a wicked world. We are in a world full of insecurities at the airport, at the border, in our economy, all around us, in the hearts and lives of people, and even in us at times as we struggle with faith. Today, brothers and sisters, you have worshiped the God of security, the God who comes, he has come to you and speaks peace to you. And he reminds you of the security that is found in him alone. And it will be the ultimate security. We will ultimately experience it when Jesus Christ returns. When we look not to the old Jerusalem, but the new Jerusalem. The one that comes out of heaven from which where no wickedness will ever enter, but we will go, where we will be forever preserved and protected and at peace with God. But even now, may peace be on you and the Israel of God from this time forward. Lord, who are we? What is our church? What is our household that you would look upon us with such mercy and kindness? To call us out of an insecure world into the security that is offered in Jesus Christ and through faith in him. Lord, we are of all kinds tonight. There may be unbelievers amongst us, Lord, who have never trusted in you and found their security in you. Please save their souls and put their trust in you tonight. There are those, Lord, who are weak, who are fearful, who are doubting, who are pessimistic, whatever fears they might have, who are feeling insecure. Please strengthen them in their faith, encourage them in their walk with you. Help them, Lord. They believe, but help their unbelief. There are some, Lord, who are arrogant, who are self-secure, who have been giving themselves the credit or other things the credit that is due to you alone. Lord, correct and show that security is in you alone. There are some who are drifting, who are leaving aside the security, who think that what they have will just always be there. So they drift, they fall, they go out, they go after sin, they sabotage their own security. We pray, O God, call them back. We pray that whatever siren song the world sings, Lord, that none of us would succumb to it or believe it. We would not believe that this world can offer us security, for it is found in Christ alone. For those, Lord, whom the church is calling with urgency, come again, to come to Christ and to repentance and faith, we pray, have mercy. We pray, bring security by the power of your Spirit into their lives through faith and repentance. Oh God, please work. We thank you that you have already worked in our hearts and lives. Continue to secure us in Christ until the day Jesus Christ returns. Commit ourselves to you then in faith. We trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.